Playing good. That's wonderful. Now we're changing scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, because God just told me to teach this. So I'm going to do it. 2 Chronicles 34. I overlooked the balcony. You folks sitting up there. Tim, how old were you? 4 years of age. Praise God. Mary? 5. That's great. Praise the Lord. I saw y'all sitting up there, and God put those two together. That is a blessing. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Great song. We'll come back to Mark 7 next week. Let me show you something I showed the Sunday school teachers last Wednesday night. I don't know how many of them in the lesson this past Sunday for the kids was on Josiah. Some of you kids might have had this in your Sunday school class last Sunday. The teachers don't have to teach the things that I bring to their attention, but they certainly are welcome to if it helps them with the lesson. That's what we do on Wednesday night. We go over anything they need, any problems in class, and then we just give them a few pointers about the lesson that they're going to be teaching. Now, a lot of you adults were in a class last week, mine or Brother Mike's or Brother Brian's or Brother Caleb's maybe. But let me show you here in 2 Chronicles 34 a great outline for every child. And parents, this is a challenge to my heart and your heart on child rearing, and it ought to be an example for every young person in this room. And let's pray together. Dear Lord, I'm glad you brought that song to our service tonight. Thank you so much for that. That blessed my heart. And I'm so thankful, dear Lord, for these people in our church and others like them who were saved at a very early age in life, and they stayed out of trouble. They obeyed their parents. They did what they were told. And Lord, they don't have any bad stories. They don't have any gutters from which you drug them physically. We know, Lord, that the heart of man is the same. It took as much grace to save them and keep them out of trouble as it did to save some of us who are in trouble. But Lord, what a testimony. And I pray that'd be a challenge to every young person's heart in this room. That God, they will get to the age Ms. Reardon is, be able to look back and remember how they were saved as a child, and they don't have any awful stories in their past. Lord, make it happen. Please, I pray. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Josiah was an interesting man because he began to reign over the kingdom of Judah when he was 8 years old. Any boy here tonight, 8 years of age? Any boy here, you're 8 years old? Raise your hand. Any boy 8 years old? Real high. Nobody's eight? None of you boys are eight? Brian Delmonico. Stand up, Brian. Now, can you imagine Brian being king? I can. I can imagine Brian being king or criminal. One or the other. Amen. Thank you, Brian. That boy right there is 8 years old. Now, Josiah was his age when he was made king. And that's literally when he became king. He began to reign. That would have been interesting. Amen. But he's 8 years of age. He reigned in Jerusalem 1 in 30 years, the Bible says. 2 Chronicles 34:1. Now, I want you to notice this little outline here. Verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father, declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. He's how old? He's 8 years of age. What did he do when he was an 8-year-old boy? Good pattern for all elementary school children. He did two things. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. All you boys and girls here tonight, if you're elementary school age, all you want to do, just do right. Do right. Do right at home where most of you do right. Do right when your dad's not around. Do right when your mom's not around. Do right in the restrooms when you're changing for PE. Do right in the school classroom. Do right with your homework. Do right. God will always bless you for doing right. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., my dad, only went to college 1 year. He went to BJ 1 year. And sat under the preaching and ministry of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. And my dad can remember Bob Jones Sr. preaching in chapel at Bob Jones University and cocking his hand to the side of his mouth like this and preaching, "Do right! Do right! Do right till the stars fall, but do right!" That's good preaching right there. That's all you ever heard. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Boys and girls, that's a good thing to remember. God always is looking. So remember, when your dad's not looking, God is. When your mom's not looking, God is looking. When the teacher's not looking, when the Sunday school teacher's not looking, God is looking. Okay? Do right in His sight. So as an elementary school age boy, 8 years of age, Josiah, number one, did that which was right. And then look at it, number two, he walked in the ways of David his father, declined neither to the right hand or to the left. You know what he did? He did right and he obeyed his parents. Now listen. David was not Josiah's daddy. But in the Bible, great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers are referred to as father. So David was Josiah's great-great-great, so many greats back. David taught him how to live, passed it down to his son, 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 till it got down to Josiah's daddy. And Josiah's daddy said, "Josiah, here's how we behave, here's how we act, here's what we do, here's what we believe." And the Bible says that Josiah had enough sense to obey his dad. He walked in the ways of David his father, and he didn't decline either to the right hand nor to the left. Now, you boys and girls that are elementary school age, that's not difficult. You'll be a success as an elementary school age boy or girl if you learn to do two things, do right and obey. Do right and obey. And by the way, parents, every elementary school child can do that. With a little teaching and training and discipline and instruction, every elementary school child can do right and they can obey. You do what you want to do. Your children are given to you by God, and you're responsible for their upbringing. But, you know, I've seen pressure put on children sometime to memorize the 119th Psalm, and little boy couldn't go out and play until he had recited so many verses per day, until he memorized the whole Psalm 119. And some parents want their little elementary school boys and girls to be walking Bible theologians. You know what I say? Teach that child how to do right. Teach that child how to obey, and let them enjoy being a child. Let them play out in the dirt, put worms in their pockets and get dirty and have a hula hoop and have a swing set. And let them enjoy being a child. Folks, the bulk of their life is going to be spent with the responsibilities of an adult. Now, I'm not saying let them out from under responsibility and teaching them to work. But good grief, you know, don't go overboard in that thing. Let them be a child. They'll be past elementary school age that quick. Boom. Okay? But teach him to obey and teach him to do right. Those two things Josiah did, and by the time he was 8 years of age, God made him a king. At eight. So as an elementary school age boy, Josiah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He obeyed his parents. Okay, now look at verse number 3. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young. So now how old is he? He's 16 years old. In the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young. I like that. Now, you 16-year-olds, 14, 17, 18, yes, you are becoming adults, but you're still young. And thank God you are. There's a lot of great things that go along with youth. Look at it. While he was yet young. Now, I want you to watch the wording of these phrases here. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. Whoa, whoa. That's a little bit different than what we just read at age 8. Did you notice that? At age 8, he walked in the ways of David, his father. Neither declined to the right hand or the left. But at age 16, something happened to this young man. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. He began to develop an interest in a personal relationship with the Lord himself. He began at age 16 to find out why he believed what he believed. He didn't want to just walk in the way of his dad because dad said to. He was happy to obey dad, but he wanted to go beyond that. He wanted to get to know the God that his father knew. That started at age 16. He wasn't concerned about what basketball moves. I'm not against that. Not against those things that go along with being a teenager. But we're rearing generations of teenagers. That's all they're interested in. They're interested in entertainment and play and money. And very few interested in getting to know God. As a 16-year-old, there ought to be some balance in your life, teenager, parent. There ought to be some balance in that young person's life. They ought to be able to take a basketball and dribble it and know how to shoot, catch a football. They ought to learn how to do the things that girls do and all that. They ought to be involved in those kind of activities, the fun activities that Brother Jason Minkowski would have here at the church for them, places like that. They ought to be able to be involved in those things and give themselves wholeheartedly to them. But be concerned if they're giving themselves to those things wholeheartedly to the exclusion of spiritual matters completely. There ought to be some inclusion. And while I'm just, you know, learning, excited about getting to play basketball or volleyball, whatever we're doing as a youth group, as a teenager, I also ought to develop some kind of desire in my heart to get to know the God of my dad, the God of my mother. I want to know Him. I want to talk to Him. I want Him to speak to me. I want to learn His book. I want to listen to His Spirit. Start a personal relationship with God. He did that at age 16. Something happened in his life. Began to hunger personally to know God. By the way, young person, just because you don't have any close friends who aren't like this doesn't mean that there aren't any teenagers who are interested in this. There are some. Their stories aren't told, unfortunately. And too bad they're not in your close circle of friends. But there are some teenage young people who really do have a desire to know the God of their parents. They have a desire to get to know the God of their church. They have a desire to get to know the God of their salvation. They want to know Him. They want to talk with Him. They want to pray and read His Word. They want God to answer their prayers. They want to develop a personal relationship with Him. Sometimes they pray while you play. Sometimes they're reading the Bible while you're watching SportsCenter. That does happen. There are some young people who have a heart to know God. And I'm simply saying here, at age 16, something happened in this young man's heart. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. It's not enough for me just to be obedient. I'm happy to do that. But I want to find out why Daddy taught me to do this and not do this. Why Daddy said this is what we believe and we don't believe this. Why Daddy said we behave this way and we don't behave this way. I want to know for myself. God, show me. He began to walk with God while he was young, as a teenager. Do you see that right in the book there? As an 8-year-old, he did that which was right, and he was obedient. And you know what? I think God was pleased. But then as a young man, age 16, 15, 17, something happened in his heart. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. Look at the remainder of verse number 3. Look at it now. About halfway through the verse there. And in the 12th year. So how old is he now? He's 20 years of age. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down the groves and the carved images and the molten images. He brake in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the... Look at this. He made dust of those images and threw it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even in the Naphtali with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Are you out of breath yet? This guy's gone crazy. Isn't that interesting? What's the earmark of a 20-year-old who at age 8 as an elementary school boy was taught to do right and obey, at age 16 while he was young, developed a heart to walk with the God of his father David, get to know God. The earmark, when he hit age 20, he was burning up with a zeal to do something for God. And what a good time to do it. He probably doesn't have a wife yet. The responsibilities of marriage and children. What a good thing for a 20-year-old young man or young lady to do, to reach that point in their life, whether it's in Bible college or secular college or working a job, having a hands-on training, a vocational experience, you know, learning as an apprentice or something. What a good time in life to just to be cranked up. I mean, just fired up, revved up to do something for God. What a good time. Age 20. But here's what happens. We don't teach our kids to do right and obey. We let them get by with not doing that. They reach age 16, 17, 18. They don't start any kind of relationship with the Lord. They hit 20, 21. They're not interested in serving God. Ain't no zeal. Huh? This is a great example for a young man, a young lady growing up. What greater age and time in life to be zealous for the Lord than this guy went bananas, man. I mean, he broke down all these idols. He smashed them to powder, took the powder out, and threw it on the graves of the false prophets. I mean, he's having a time. He's cranked. Serving God at age 20. I like this. I think what a great pattern for every young person. And I'm not saying this every 20-year-old has to be in Bible college, but I'm saying every 20-year-old could have a job and have a bus route. Sure. Every 20-year-old could have a job and have a Sunday school class. Every 20-year-old could have a job and have some ministry in the church that they're pouring their hearts into and working and loving and teaching kids and leading singing. And what better age to do that with all the youth and vision and zeal of youth, huh? At age 20. That's a great pattern for a young person. Then you get to verse number 8. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So now he's 26 years of age, and he's turning his attention to do something for the house of God with the finances that God has blessed him with. I think it's a great pattern. By the time you're 26, you're hopefully married or getting close to it, settling down in what the vocation, the place that God has for you. But as a 26-year-old, you don't walk away from the church. You don't get married. I'm tired of performing marriages and then seeing kids disappear. I'm tired of that. I'm about to change my policy on it. About to sit down and have a long talk. I'm tired of these big, full-blown church weddings and I don't see people for 4 or 5 months afterwards. I'm tired of that. Tired of it. You don't get married and then get you a job and then 24 and 25 and go out and pursue the American dream. Where did you find that in the Bible? You don't have to be a preacher or a missionary or an evangelist, but you could do something. You could keep your heart in the church house. Sure you could. And God pity some of you sitting here tonight. Think, well, I tell you what, get my diploma and get out of school, and I'm going to get that, and I'm going to find a wife or a husband and get married. Well, if I find me one like me, we'll just be out of church in a few years. I won't have to fool with this mess anymore. Well, maybe God will get a hold of your heart before you get that done. There's a great pattern for every young person, you know. She sang that song, man. What a blessing! By the way, Eight-year-old boy, he was taught to do right and obey. That's it. Did you hear what she's saying there? You know, she said some of the words were, I didn't understand, but I just did what I was told. You see, you can't go wrong as a child if you're taught right. You may not comprehend it all, young people. You may not understand all of Dad's ways and why he does this and why you don't do this. But if you're a child, you just accept it. Trust your daddy. Do what he tells you. God will bless you for that. Bless you for it. So, that's my Bible study. That ought to be the heart of every parent in this room to follow that right down. Now, I'm not saying they have to be a king or a priest or a preacher or an evangelist. But there's nothing wrong at age 20 with having some zeal and serving in the house of God. As an elementary school age, he was taught to do right and obey his parents. As a 16-year-old, he began to seek after the God of his parents. And by the time he was 20, he was eaten up to use his life to do something for God. And then a few years later, when he was into the swing of things, his interest was still in the old church house. I appreciate it. Tim, Mary, how long have you all been married?
3 years.
I appreciate the fact you're still interested in the church house. I appreciate that. Other young couples I could talk about here too. Jerome, Melissa, I'm glad you're still interested in the church house. Glad you hadn't got married and got lost. Amen? That's a good pattern to follow right there, isn't it? God changed all my mind and I put that on my heart when you sang that song. How many of you Sunday school teachers taught that in class last Sunday? A handful. All right. How many of you that you didn't hear that till tonight? That's the first time you've been through that. Okay, very good. Amen. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What a great testimony. What a great song. Our Father, I pray that you'll please speak to the hearts of every child, young person in this room. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you will get a hold of every elementary school child here, that they will set in their hearts to do right, to be obedient. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless every young person here. Maybe there's a young man or young lady in their teenage years in life, and they've given all their interest to temporary things, earthly things. They haven't latched in yet. They haven't locked into this thing of pursuing a relationship with you while they're young. Any of them, Lord, designing plans right now to sow wild oats, I pray that during that song tonight, you spoke to their heart and they would put away those foolish plans so that they could have a testimony someday of never having messed up. I pray, God, that you'll bless the college age, the young couples in our church. And thank you for this example of Josiah. Help us as parents, those of us with children at home, and the opportunity to influence them to look at the pattern of Josiah's life and use it as a goal for our kids. Lord, child rearing is hard work. I pray that you'll help us to stay on top of it. And I pray that we could have a bunch more testimonies someday, like Jason's and Heather's and Trisha's and Jeff's and Jennifer's and Eliza's and all the other folks, Dawn's, who were saved at 5, 7, 10 and never did anything horribly awful bad. I pray that you'll bless them, Lord. Bless the boys and girls here to do right and to be obedient. Bless the young people to have a heart to seek you. Bless the young people 20 and over with a zeal to live for you. Bless the young couples to keep their hearts in the house of God. I'll thank you for it. Speak to us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Play us a song. Fancy story, but if you'll stick with the ways of your father.